Standing tall against a multinational corporate agenda. The Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So, actress Cynthia Nixon, you may know her as Miranda, the star of Sex and the City. She announced she's running for governor of New York against Andrew Cuomo. She released a video that hit on two major issues in New York. One of them, and I guess really across the country as well, one of them is mass inequality. Which we see the haves having, well, a lot, and the haves have nots, not so much, and fixing public transportation. New York has had its problems. One of the largest cities in the country, its public transportation system struggling because of lack of investment, in my view. Now, on May 1st, May Day, voters in Nashville, Tennessee, they're going to have the opportunity to vote on a transit plan. Let's Move Nashville is the title of it. It's, I guess, about a $9 billion investment in public transportation that will move the city into the 21st century, perhaps, or at least the late part of the 20th. I'm here to talk a little bit about that and also worker safety and everything that goes with that. I've asked Patrick Green to come talk with us. He's the president of the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 1234. Patrick, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So I look at this plan, this idea, a huge investment in infrastructure. Tell me about it.
So the plan itself is what we believe to be a fairly good plan. It increases the bus service that we have here in Nashville, Tennessee, along with adding four light rail lines for the first time here in Nashville.
That's a huge thing, because if you look at the Amazon running around the country trying to get people, cities to give away the baby and the bathwater, public transit is a big part of it.
Absolutely. And one of the big things that they push here is that does make us more attractive to companies like Amazon.
So, what's the negative side? Because I'm a big public transit guy. I think, the idea of getting people off the highways and the roads in front of me is a great thing. As a truck driver, thrilled when they get off the road and onto trains, because I'd love the option.
So the negative side, as transit and people who work in this community, we are really advocates for the community as well as the workforce that we support here. So we do have an issue with affordable housing here in Nashville. We do have an issue with low wages here in Nashville. So we'd like to bring those issues to the forefront as well.
Yeah, and will this help solve some of that?
I don't know if it will help solve some of that, but it has definitely brought the conversation forward. And so that is the biggest thing that we're looking for. The law is what it is, so we can't include that language in the referendum, but the conversation is where we need it to be.
Because I would think, as I've been looking around the country, whenever transit issues come up, whenever there's a vote that says, hey, should we invest in public transit, overwhelmingly they win. Is that your experience?
That is our experience. But here in Nashville, we do have a lot of play here from the Beacon Center and the Koch brothers, and so they're definitely involved in the game here.
Yeah, they seem to be everywhere. And I guess, it's all about the money, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's all about the money.
Because I look at this kind of investment, the jobs that would be created from building this, the jobs to maintain it, the jobs for your members, for other folks, to get people from one area to another back and forth to work. I just don't see a downside.
And you are correct. We really don't see a downside here as well. The biggest thing is creating job opportunities for people in this community, people of color in this community, people who are low income in this community, and it gives an opportunity for workforce development and training to get people ahead.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that's part of it? I mean, unfortunately, do you think the poverty issue plays into it, race plays into being against it?
Absolutely, and I believe that's where the focus is right now. Is the message that's being sent to the community here in terms of the low-income community, it's a bad deal. It is a bad deal, and that's just wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland as a kid, and we weren't on the bus line. So there wasn't the opportunity to hop on a bus and go to the industrial parks or to go to the suburbs where the job centers were. So you were really zeroed out of any opportunity to get out of those projects unless you were willing to walk the 4 miles to get up to Brook Park Road to get the train or into some of those jobs. It just seemed to me that, even as a kid, that having that kind of barrier was unnecessary.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm a kid here myself who grew up in the housing project, probably one of the worst ones here in the city of Nashville. And I grew up watching my mother walk to work every single day. One of the things about this plan that I absolutely love is that people who are low income and live below the poverty rate here in Nashville will get to ride for free.
And see, those are the kind of progressive programs I would love to see across this country. You know, but here again, what you end up with, though, Patrick, is an environment where you're going to now start saying, well, you shouldn't get, I don't get it, and you shouldn't. You're going to have this kind of tearing apart, don't you think, where you have people who are just jealous.
Absolutely, and that's always that is always part of the conversation, Rick. I'll tell you, one of the things that I proposed here early on in this process was, you know what, let's throw out fare box revenues. Let everybody ride for free.
There's an idea. I would be in favor of that because it's going to do a couple of things. It's going to make transit for people a lot cheaper, and it's going to get more people doing it. This way, there are less people on the road, hopefully less people in front of me in traffic.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we thought that was a great idea. Some people viewed that as radical. But we sat back and we said, listen, if we're talking about fare box revenues, if we're talking about dedicated funding, I believe that that's something that can really be done here in this city.
Yeah, I mean, see, I've always been of the mindset that, you know, public transportation shouldn't be operated at a profit. It's a public good. It's part of the commons. It's a way of getting people around, and it's a way of putting infrastructure in place for people to use. It shouldn't be something that's done at a profit or you know, concern for, you know, enormous losses. What you do is you build it into the tax base.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is the direction that all cities actually need to go, and we believe this. It's not a good thing, Rick, every year when you have to go back to the mayor and the city council to beg for additional funding when you know that majority of the people that ride your system are dependent on this transportation.
Yeah, well, there's the other part of that is we want to keep those people hostage.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they've been doing a pretty good job of it here in Nashville, but I think it's time to break that mold.
Yeah. Any what are your sense at this point? I know May 1st is a long ways off. Any sense of where it's going right now?
Well, I personally believe, Rick, right now it's a 50-50 type situation. We are, as ATU 1235 in Nashville, Tennessee, we're working in the community now. We're doing voter registration drives. We're getting the word out, and we're doing our part in this city to make sure that everyone in the community knows that this is a good transit plan. It could always be better. We could always do better. But this is what we have, and we think it's a great opportunity to move this city forward.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let me ask you the other side of this, because we've been seeing stories all across the country, and I know in your backyard we've also seen violence against bus drivers and transit workers, and I look at just the safety angle of some of these professions. And I guess, back in 2017, you guys had a passenger who shot and killed somebody, one of your drivers, I guess, on the bus?
Well, so what we had here, Rick, is in 2017, late November, we had a passenger that actually boarded the bus and shot and killed another passenger. The sad part about that, Rick, was that was one of our general officers here at this local. And that was preceded by a new state law that went into effect in July of 2017 that allowed gun carry permit holders to actually bring their guns onto public transportation.
So it's the Wild West. We can carry our guns wherever we want to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is a scary thought. And this is something that we're starting to see on a daily basis.
But I guess it is Tennessee, right? I mean, isn't Tennessee the Wild West?
Tennessee can be the Wild West, but I can tell you this, for as wild as they made that law, I don't think they'd be willing to allow people to bring their guns into the state legislature.
And that's the other part of it. If you're going to put it on a bus with a bus driver at 3 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of drunken yahoos, let's do it the state legislatures as well.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And you know, the reality of it is too, Rick, we have lawful gun carry permit holders that actually drive buses. Fair is fair. Now, we're not pushing that our drivers be able to carry their weapons, but why exclude anybody if we're going to be wide open like that?
Yes, I'm always of the mindset, though, you put a gun into a situation, even if you've got it, it can always be taken away from me and used against you. Years ago, I took a private police training course, and they said that the vast majority of people who are killed with a gun are usually done so within 3 feet of each other, and the cops were shot with their own gun most of the time. I just don't know. I think keeping them off the bus is probably the better idea, and maybe putting police on it, that seems a lot better to me than having a driver who's got to be thinking about driving and taking care of the passengers. I don't know that I want him packing heat.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. But when we talk about those things, Rick, here's what we say here. We say, listen, we're advocating for transit police. We're advocating for optional barriers, safety protection barriers here in the city of Nashville. And we think those things are important. But unfortunately, the system here doesn't believe that our safety and security rises to the level to warrant those things.
Yeah. I got to tell you, if the idea of driving a bus at 3 o'clock in the morning is not something that I would want to do. I'll be honest. I remember as a kid, using the transit in Cleveland and going, I really don't want this. You'd see people screwing with the drivers. I don't think I'd want that. So I guess the question is how many of your drivers actually feel safe on the job?
Well, we just completed a survey of our membership, Rick, and the scary part about it is 82% of our drivers don't feel safe. That is a scary proposition for people who are out there driving a busload of passengers every single day and every night.
Yeah, I mean, because, the idea of having, who knows who behind you, it's one of those weird things that, I don't know, I wouldn't want to do, but I'm glad someone does. So the question then becomes, how do we make those 82% of the drivers feel safer? How do you make sure that we make sure they go to work and they come home in the same conditions they went to and come to every day?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we really have to do here is we do have to turn back that state law that simply says that lawful gun carry permit holders can carry their guns on public transportation. That needs to stop. We transport about 3,000 children to school every single day here in this city, and we know accidents can happen. We also need transit police who are dedicated to our transit system when we actually need help, and we need those barriers. We must have optional safety barriers. I myself, Rick, and I have a personal experience. I had passengers stabbed on my bus when I was driving in the middle of the night. It is an awful feeling to be in those situations when you reach out to people and you can't get any help.
Wow. You actually had somebody stabbed on your bus. I've been on buses before where there have been, fights and stuff like that, but never that. And do you think that's part of, for me, the idea of that even can happen is a reason that I would think some people would vote against the idea of expanding public transportation.
Well, and I can certainly understand that view, Rick, but we have a lack of resources here in this city as it relates to transit. And so without the dedicated resources, without the additional influx of money, we would be 15, 20 years down the line being able to add transit police and those safety devices that we need in place.
So with this proposal that they're going to be voting on May Day, is this part of that, the safety portion of is it part of it?
It's currently right now not part of it, but we have a responsibility to make sure that it is. And that's why we're pushing as hard as we are, and that's one of the reasons why we're in this campaign.
So what are you asking people to do?
So we're asking people to get out there. We're asking them to vote. We're asking those who aren't registered to vote to get out there and vote and join us as we partner with different organizations in this community to actually get the message out. You can find bad things. You can find bad things to say about anything that the government is actually trying to do. But it's time for us to reach out to this community. It's time for us to come together as one strong community and do right by this city.
Yeah, last question I've got for you. In your job as a bus driver, your job doing what you do, any moment that sticks out in your mind where you go, I'm glad I do this?
Absolutely, absolutely. When I see those single parents who get on the bus, Rick, and they don't have the fare that they need, and when I have the privilege to reach in my own pocket and put it in there and tell them thank you for riding, that is an absolutely good feeling, and it reminds me that I'm a servant of the community. When we have those children who are riding without parents and I get to make sure that they get home safely, that bus is supposed to be a safe place, and I definitely make sure that that's what's happening, it feels good. We're servants of the community, Rick.
Good stuff. Patrick, I appreciate you taking some time for us, sharing your thoughts and informing us to what's going on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. Patrick Green, president of Amalgamated Transit Union Local 1235. And I hope the folks of Nashville do. I hope they vote on this proposal. I hope they create a 21st century transportation plan and they move their area forward. You know why? Because I hope the next community sees how well it does and they want to do it. And the next community, and the next community. Because that's how you change the world, by changing your little piece of it. Good stuff. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. It's desperate times, so desperate measures we explore. Marching on the Capitol to lobby leaders for involvement. 3,000 people screaming out, where's our government? Lawsuits and arraignments. Members under company surveillance. Public divided. Either they love us or they hate us. Profit billions off our back. And it's still not enough. They should have took into account that we never give up. We'll be here.
Class Radio Experience, where hard work, common sense, and rational thought are a reality. The Rick Smith Show.